Good day. This is Mary Hodson reading from the Pantograph on Monday, May 15th, and we'll also try to catch up on the weekend news. We're going to start with an article entitled Jury Selection to Begin in Meller Murder Case. This is by Kevin Barlow out of Eureka. Jury selection is scheduled to begin Monday morning for a former Bloomington High School teacher accused in the October 16 stabbing death of her husband. Sarah Meller, 30, remains in Woodford County Jail on a $1 million bond on first-degree murder charges in the death of Mark Meller. She has pleaded not guilty, and Mark Meller, 31, died at Advocate Roman Medical Center in Normal from a stab wound to the chest that prosecutors say occurred about 11:45 p.m. at a campground near Carlock in Woodford County. In November, Woodford County State's Attorney Greg Minger said the couple got into an argument because Sarah Meller wanted to leave the campground. He said the evidence will show that she grabbed a hunting knife with a 4.5-inch blade and threatened him with it. The couple struggled, and she stuck the knife into her husband, believing it would break or bend. Meller's lawyer, Stephanie Wong, said the incident was out of character for Sarah Meller, but has not yet announced the defense she will present at trial. Next article is about A.G. Lisa Madigan. A.G. Madigan is to seek fifth term in 2018. The story is out of Chicago. Illinois Attorney General Lisa Madigan says she's seeking a fifth term next year. She revealed her 2018 plans last week during an unrelated news conference in Chicago. The Democrat is already the longest-serving attorney general in the state's history. Madigan considered a gubernatorial run 4 years ago, but announced that she'd seek re-election instead. She's the daughter of longtime Illinois House Leader Michael Madigan, and in a 2013 statement said the state would not be well served by having a governor and speaker of the House from the same family. Next story is about the Bike Master Plan, entitled City to Hold Public Meetings on Bike Master Plan by Maria Nagel. Temporary bicycle lanes were slated, weather permitting, to be installed overnight Sunday on Washington Street between Kretzker and Mercer Avenues and completed in time for Monday's morning commute. The city, in partnership with the local bicycle advocacy group Bike Below No, is using temporary chalk paint to draw what are called pop-up bike lanes as a way to gather public feedback about whether to add permanent lanes there and on a long stretch of the east-west thoroughfare. The proposed amendment being considered by the Public Works Department includes Washington Street from Lee Street to Joseph Drive. The public can provide input and discuss changes to the plan at three public meetings over the next month, 5 to 7 p.m. May 23rd in the cafeteria at Washington Elementary School, 1201 East Washington Street, 4:06 p.m. on June 13th, 4 to 6 p.m. June 13th in the Governor Pfeiffer Room at the McLean County Museum of History, 200 North Main Street, 4 p.m. June 14 during the Bloomington Planning Commission meeting in the City Council Chambers at City Hall, 109 East Olive Street. City and Bike Below No officials encourage residents to try out the temporary bike lanes during the Good to Go Commuter Challenge that starts on Monday. The challenge is a free and friendly competition between individuals, groups, workplaces, and organizations to avoid driving alone for a week. To register, visit https://goodtogomclean.org or contact Dan Handel, Assistant Planner with the McLean County Regional Planning Commission at dhandel@mcplan.org or 309-828-4331, extension 7. Any trip is eligible as long as it's by walking, biking, riding the bus, carpooling, or telecommuting. Trips can be logged on the website. For last year's challenge, 352 commuters logged nearly 5,500 miles, burned about 90,000 calories, and prevented over 600 metric tons of carbon dioxide emissions, said city officials. Bike Below No sees Washington Street as a critical multimodal connection to many community destinations, said Michael Gorman, the group's co-chairman of Public Policy and Infrastructure. If Washington Street were added to the plan, it would create a rectangular network of bike lanes connecting to Constitution Avenue, Eastland Mall, OSF St. Joseph Medical Center, State Farm Corporate Headquarters, Green Top Grocery, Downtown Bloomington, Advocate Broman Medical Center, Illinois Wesleyan University, and out of Normal, an article by Derek Blay, Champion Fields to get shade and bleachers by July. Players and spectators alike will soon be more comfortable during games at Champion Fields. The town of Normal, which owns the softball fields near Normal Community West High, will replace their bleachers and install new shade structures by the end of June, pending City Council approval. Given the absence of mature trees on the site, the temperature during the summertime tournaments can make for very uncomfortable spectating, according to a memo from Parks and Recreation Director Doug Darmy. The shade structures will provide shade for the spectators and participants, providing a more comfortable and safer environment to enjoy the games. The town expects to pay no more than $95,000 to install the equipment after spending $111,000 to buy the shade structures and $60,000 to buy the bleachers. The project will total $266,000, well below the budgeted $350,000. We are currently securing a contractor through the U.S. Communities Government Purchasing Alliance for installation, according to the memo. U.S. Communities has identified select vendors that have established a per structure installation price which meet the bidding requirements, that is familiar with the installation of the product and installs several a year. The council meets at 7 p.m. Monday on the fourth floor at Upton Station. In other business, the council will tour the new Normal Fire Department headquarters station at 5:30 p.m. at 606 South Main Street near the south edge of Illinois State University. City Manager Mark Peterson said Friday the station is expected to be operational in October. They'll also consider approving liquor licenses for Distill Brewery at 1200 Greenbrier Drive to open May 27, the Radisson Hotel at 8 Traders Circle to open June 7, and Portillo's at 202 Landmark Drive to open in August. All three will offer food, beer, and wine. The council also acts as the local liquor commission. Next, an article by Paul Schweitz, entitled Heroin Epidemic May Be Plateauing in Central Illinois. Heroin remains in some Central Illinois homes. The good news is the heroin problem, after worsening for several years, may have started to plateau, said Central Illinoisans working to stem the opioid epidemic. It's been steady, said Chief Paul Adams of the Lincoln Police Department, that has trained two more officers in DARE, drug abuse resistance education, to work with youth. But I'd like to have it back to zero. I don't know what I can say that I can say it's getting worse, said Dr. Darrell Rust, an emergency department physician at OSF St. James John W. Albrecht Medical Center in Pontiac and medical director for the detoxification unit of Chestnut Health Systems in Bloomington. But it's still a huge problem, Russ said. Hopefully things are turning around. There are a lot of things trying to make a difference. A year ago, the Pantograph series Dope Sick, The Heroin Epidemic, detailed how heroin, a highly addictive opioid, moved from the back alleys to the family rooms of more Central Illinois homes. It used to be a Skid Row problem, Russ said. Now it's a problem of the middle class, the upper class, and the lower class. Linda Barber, clinical supervisor for Bloomington Normal Treatment Center in Normal, said it's a cross-section of Central Illinois. It could be your neighbor and you wouldn't know it. According to the Illinois Department of Public Health, 1,877 Illinoisans died of an opioid overdose in 2016. Of those, 1,002 died of a heroin overdose. The rest died from other opioids, including prescription painkillers. The New England Journal of Medicine reported that prescriptions for opioid analgesics for moderate to severe pain increased substantially from 2002 to 2010, prompted by well-intended efforts to control pain following injury or surgery, said Central Illinois medical professionals and substance abuse treatment providers. But it's easy to become addicted to opioids. And in response, we medical professionals are way better about judiciously prescribing pain medicine, said Lori Ritter, a trauma quality coordinator for Advocate Bromen Medical Center in Normal. Some people, when their prescriptions weren't refilled, turned to buy an illegal opioid, heroin, on the street. Heroin is cheaper than prescription painkillers. Generally, people start using heroin by snorting a powder form, said Ed Betzelberger, director of addiction services for Tazewood Center for Wellness, that provides mental health services in Tazewell, Woodford, and Logan counties. Then, intravenous use becomes the preferred method because it's injected directly into the bloodstream, so users get high quicker. When people overdose on opioids, the body's functions slow to the point where people lose consciousness and, in some cases, stop breathing. McLean County area EMS providers administered naloxone, Narcan, 136 times during 2016 to restore breathing in people experiencing an opioid overdose, compared to 134 times during 2015, said EMS Director Dylan Ferguson. Comparing first quarter 2016 to first quarter 2017, we have seen an increase of 25% of patients administered naloxone, Ferguson said. One trend we started to see at the end of 2016 that continues into 2017 is EMS providers are having to administer higher doses of Narcan than they did before, Ferguson said. We're seeing more heroin cut with fentanyl, a powerful synthetic opioid, which results in a deadly contact cocktail. He explained, a standard dose is 2 milligrams. Sometimes we're administering 4 to 8 milligrams just to bring their breathing back. At Advocate Bromen, which has an addiction recovery unit, 271 people were treated for opioid addiction during 2016, a slight increase from the 258 people during 2015, Ritter said. Through April 17 of this year, 80 people were treated. At OSF St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington, 30 patients were treated for opioid addiction-related problems in the ER from January 2016 through the end of April this year, said clinical coordinator Kathy Belcher. About 45 patients were treated at OSF St. James John W. Albrecht Medical Center in Pontiac, said Aaron Nimbler, Director of Emergency Services. Chestnut Health System's detoxification unit has to turn away an average of 38 people each month because it doesn't have room for them, said Joan Hartman, Chestnut Vice President of Behavioral Health Services. 95% are alcohol or opiate-related, she said. One reason that Chestnut has seen more opioid admissions is because Chestnut is a provider for Safe Passage. Safe Passage is a program being adopted by some police departments, including the Pontiac Agency, for opioid addicts to come to the police department with their heroin and prescription opioids. In exchange for handling over their drugs, the police department arranges to get people the help they need, said Pontiac Police Major Dan Davis. We have helped more than 10 people, said Davis. I wish more people could take advantage of this program. Programs like Safe Passage have made a huge difference to individuals, said Betzelberger. Bloomington Normal Treatment Center has about 170 active patients, Barber said. At IHR, the Institute for Human Resources, Livingston County's Mental Health and Substance Abuse Agency, 257 substance abuse clients were treated between July 1, when the fiscal year began, and the end of April, said Teresa Diemer, Substance Abuse Program Director. Of those, 59 were treated for abuse of heroin, opioid pills, or both, she said. About 40% of people contemplating suicide last year who were assisted by the crisis team of Center for Human Services of McLean County were people who had used heroin or another opioid, said crisis program manager Megan Mosier. There is more than one addiction treatment option available in the Twin City area, Bloomington Normal Treatment Center uses a methadone maintenance program. Methadone, which comes in a liquid or tablet form, is an opioid, but it's longer acting than heroin, Barber said. The idea is to get people who are addicted, sick, and unable to function down to a therapeutic dose so they can stop illegal activity, hold down a job, improve their personal relationships, and have a life, she said. With methadone, what they get is a longer-acting, steady dose in their system so they don't get sick, Barber said. Withdrawal from heroin, which is like a severe and painful flu, is one reason people continue to take heroin. The goal is to slowly reduce the methadone dose so the person is opioid-free, said Barber, admitting that replacing one drug with another is controversial. People come to us addicted, she said. Abstinence is our goal, but we will accept harm reduction. We will accept people not dying. We will accept people doing better. Chestnut Family Health Center has a medication-assisted treatment program that provides Suboxone that can deliver relief from heroin cravings, Hartman said. Belzeberger said, we're seeing a growing interest in Vivitrol to aid people in treatment of opioid addiction. Vivitrol, a monthly injection in a longer-acting form of naloxone, keeps cravings away, he said. It's a tool that can be effective with other tools, including therapy, taking care of your health, and surrounding yourself with supportive people. If you relapse, it's not a failure on your part, Ritter said. If you're still drawing a breath, it's not too late, Betzelberger said. People who recover realize my life is worth saving. And a second article about the opioid crisis entitled Opioid Overdose Survivors Recall Naloxone Roller Coaster. This is by Lorianne Cook Neisler. Naloxone can save the life of someone who may be dying of a heroin or other opioid overdose, but it comes with a price. I remember waking up with a bunch of EMTs and police officers around me, said Brittany Lord of Clinton, who survived an accidental heroin overdose about 5 years ago, thanks to the emergency overdose reversal drug, also known under the brand name Narcan. First thing I said was that my head was killing me because when you wake back up, it feels like someone took a sledgehammer to your head. It hurts really bad. The state of Illinois mandates that all first responders carry naloxone, which can be administered nasally or intravenously to block the effect of opioids on the brain. Opioids, which also include prescription painkillers like oxycodone and hydrocodone, slow respiration and heart rate, and can be fatal in an overdose. McLean County area EMS providers administered naloxone 136 times during 2016 to restore breathing in people experiencing an opioid overdose, compared to 134 times during 2015, said EMS Director Dylan Ferguson. For those who have experienced it firsthand, it could be described as a miracle drug that can jumpstart a roller coaster of emotions in a short span. I felt like, oh my God, I just got my head bashed in, said Lord, explaining the pain that's different from a hangover. I kept asking what was wrong with my head, and they told me it was normal. They said it was a side effect of the medicine. Other side effects can include dizziness, tiredness, weakness, nervousness, restlessness, irritability, and nausea. But medical experts say each patient reacts differently, and there's no consistent set of side effects for the drug that has been available for more than 50 years. When you wake back up, it takes a few minutes to grasp your surroundings and what's going on, Lord said. You're pretty alert for about 20 or 30 minutes, but then you start to feel the heroin take hold again. The heroin starts to reattach to those receptors in the brain, and you start to feel like you're getting high again, she said. In some areas in Illinois, naloxone is available over the counter in pre-measured doses. But whether it's given by a first responder or a concerned bystander, the victim needs to be treated in a hospital, experts say. My friends were freaking out, apparently, said Kurt Fitzpatrick, who overdosed on heroin about a year ago in Bloomington. They didn't know what to do. Some left. Some wanted to clean stuff up. Some did the right thing and got help. But when you come out of it, there's a weird sensation, he said. You realize you almost died and you feel sick. But there are a lot of thoughts going through your head, and because you were unconscious, you just have no idea what happened. It's a big roller coaster, and it's not fun. Naloxone has been legal for non-medical personnel to use in Illinois since 2009 when the Overdose Prevention Act was signed into law. It's a safe, non-toxic, and has no potential for addiction and has no effect on someone who has not taken an opioid drug. It costs between $20 and $40 for a kit that includes everything a person would need to reverse an overdose. Although the law for first responders to carry naloxone was passed in 2015, there remain some funding issues for several local police and fire departments, especially in rural areas, to obtain an adequate supply. The standard dose of naloxone is 2 milligrams, but stronger opioids are forcing first responders to increase the dosage, Ferguson said. Adding to that is the advent of acrofentanil, a chemical cousin of fentanyl, the powerful synthetic opioid. The Cook County Medical Examiner's Office said the new drug is blamed for more than 40 deaths in the Chicago area so far this year. Officials there are warning the general public and emergency responders that it may take multiple doses of naloxone to overcome an anti-fentanyl overdose. And here's our local exhibit schedule. Parklands Nature Preserve along the Mackinac River through May 27. Eaton Gallery, 411 North Center Street, Bloomington. Photographs by Mary Jo Adams, paintings by Herb Eaton, and it's free. Propaganda on All Fronts, United States and International Posters, 1917 to 1945, through June 5th at the ISU Milner Library second floor. More than 40 posters and related materials from Milner's Government Documents World War poster collection. ISU University Galleries, noon to 4 p.m. Monday, 9:30 a.m. to 7 p.m. Tuesday, 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Wednesday to Friday, noon to 4 Saturday to Sunday, Uptown Station, 11 Uptown Circle Normal. Rotating exhibits in three galleries, and that's free. 2017 ISU Student Annual through May 14, ISU University Galleries, juried show open to all ISU students. A Tripod of Beauty and Friendship, a photo exhibit of Three Sister Cities through May 19, IWU Arms Library, first floor, photos of people and places from Bloomington Normal, Canterbury, England, and Vladimir, Russia. IWU Merwin and Wakely Galleries, that's during school hours, noon to 4 p.m. Monday to Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. Saturday and Sunday, 7 to 9 p.m. Tuesday, 302 East Graham Street, Bloomington, rotating exhibits, and that is also free. McLean County Arts Center, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Tuesday, 10 to 5 Wednesday to Friday, noon to 4 Saturday, 601 East Bloomington, rotating exhibits, sales, rentals, art classes, and lectures that are free. Welcome to Hard Times, East Central Pinholes through June 10, McLean County Arts Center. Photography by Vaughn Varsovich. Artist and reception talk, 5 to 7 p.m. June 9th. Workshop, noon to 3 p.m. June 10th. Nuclear terrorism through June 10. McLean County Arts Center. Photography by Nate Matthews. Dina Frashi. Spring is on the wing through June 10, also at McLean County Arts Center. Wildlife photography. McLean County Museum of History, 10 to 5, Monday to Saturday until 9 p.m. on Tuesdays, however. 200 North Main Street, Bloomington, permanent and rotating exhibits. Adults, $5, senior, $4, and students, children under 12, and members free. Challenges, choices, and change, making a home. McLean County Museum of History, permanent exhibit exploring experiences of people from around the world who made McLean County their home. Abraham Lincoln in McLean County. That's at the McLean County Museum of History, permanent exhibit on Lincoln's life in Bloomington. Challenges, choices, and change, farming in the Great Corn Belt, McLean County Museum of History, new permanent exhibit at McLean County's about McLean County's agricultural history. Prairie Aviation Museum, 11 to 4, Thursday to Saturday, noon to 4 on Sunday, 2929 East Empire Street, Bloomington. Permanent and rotating exhibits and displays with aerial history themes. Adults, $5. Ages 6 to 11, $3. And 5 and under, $3. And around Central Illinois, the U of I Cranard Art Museum is open 9 to 5 p.m. Monday to Saturday and until 9 p.m. Thursdays during fall and spring semesters. Closed Sunday. That's located on 500 East Peabody Drive in Champaign. A $3 donation is suggested. Autumn Night in Rehearsal through July 8 at Cranard Art Museum. See above, and that's live and video performances. Dynamic Structures, American Abstract Artists, through July 8th. That's at the Cranford Art Museum. Works by past members of the American Abstract Artists Group. And Land Grant, through July 8th, at the Cranford Art Museum. U of I History Exhibition. And at Amity Township Museum, 1 to 3 p.m. first Sunday of the month, or by appointment, 510 Main Street in Cornell, displays and artifacts relating to the history of Cornell and Amity Townships, and that's free. Eureka College Business Burgess Hall Art Gallery, 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. weekdays and by appointment on weekends. It's on the third floor of Burgess Hall, Eureka College, at Eureka, and that's free. Simpkins Military History Museum, 1 to 5 p.m. Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, or by appointment. 605 East Cole Street, Hayworth, permanent and rotating military history exhibits. And that's free. 100th anniversary of World War I through November 30, 2018 at the Simpkins Military History Museum. Dixon Mounds Museum, 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily, 10956 North Dixon Mounds Road, Lewiston. And it has displays and special exhibits, and that's free. Lincoln Heritage Museum, 9 to 4, Monday to Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. on Saturday at the Lincoln Center at Lincoln College, 300 Keokuk Street, Lincoln. They have Lincoln-era items, audiovisual displays, tours, and exhibits. And adults are charged $7, and children's and tours are $4. Lovers of Liberty Take Courage. That's through December 31 at the Lincoln Heritage Museum. Exhibits on displays of courage from historical figures, including Harriet Tubman and Harriet Beecher Stowe. At the Contemporary Arts Center in Peoria, 11 to 5, Tuesday to Saturday, Riverfront Arts Center, 305 West Water, Peoria. And that's free. Meditations Revealed through June 24 at the Contemporary Arts Center of Peoria. Mixed media works by Rebecca Drayland and Richard Larimore. Earth is Flat through June 16 at the Contemporary Arts Center of Peoria. Mixed media works by Janet Katuri. Peoria Art Guild, Foster Arts Center, Harrison and Washington Streets in Peoria. And that's free. Peoria Riverfront Museum, 10 to 5, January 16th, and whoops, that's already passed. Then Wednesday and Saturday, 10 a.m. and 7, Thursday and Friday, noon to 5, Sunday at the Downtown Riverfront Peoria. Permanent and rotating exhibits. They have a giant screen theater and events. $9 to $11 is the fee. Curly Boo Johnson, Celebrating Achievement through June 30 at the Peoria Riverfront Museum. That's sports memorabilia from Peoria native and Harlem Globetrotters player. Genome, Unlocking Life's Code through May 29, also at the Peoria Riverfront Museum. That's an interactive science exhibit. Microsculpture, the Insect Portraits of Levin Bliss through May 29 at the Peoria Riverfront Museum. And that's a photographic exhibit. The George and Norma Kottman Collection, that's a 40-year passion for art through July 9, also at the Riverfront Museum. And the Museum of the Gilding Arts, 9 to 5, Monday to Sunday, April to October, and 10 to 4, Monday to Sunday, November to March. 217 North Mill Street, Pontiac, displays, history, and hands-on exhibits dedicated to the art of gilding and gold beading, and that's free. Pontiac Community Arts Center, 10 to 5 Monday to Friday and 10 to 4 on Saturday and noon to 4 on Sunday, 103 West Madison, and they have rotating exhibits. Every little detail through May 30th, Pontiac Community Arts Center, paintings by Teresa Beard Lowell. And the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library and Museum is open 9 to 5 Monday to Sunday, 212 North 6th Street, Springfield. They have Lincoln-themed exhibits, historical displays, special events, and more. Adults 12, seniors and students 9, ages 5 to 15, $5 and under 5 are free.